Wish her a mazel tov. So, okay, so we have the excitement of doing Parashat Kisetze as we're getting closer and closer to Sim HaTaira. And I saw a few very beautiful things that I'd like to share with you. So the first is I'd like to share from Rav Galinsky. And that is, take a look on page 556 in the Pasuk. I'm sorry, 554. We're going to talk about a person who has the unfortunate Ben Saramar. Excuse me, 552. And the Torah tells us, the Pasuk talks about it, and it says in Pasuk, Yudches, Kiel Ish Ben Sorer Umora, a Nana Shamea Bekol Avi, Bekol Imo, person has Rachman Otzlan, a son who is a Ben Sorer, he is a son who's not proper, not the way he should be, Umora, and he's rebellious, a Nana Shamea Bekol Avi, Bekol Imo, he doesn't listen to his parents, Yisro Sovel Yishmal Lehem. So
they say it never really happened. Right.
Right. So the Gemara tells us that according to one sheet, the Ben Sar Lo Hoyev Lo Yia, he wasn't. It never happened. It never will be. But we do it.
Drashim
people start. But we learn important lessons from such episodes. So for that, the learning is it should never happen. But lessons in parenting, all the lessons in parenting come from here. This is the parenting parsha. So he says like this. He says he has a shayla. He has a kash. What do we call him? We call him Ben Sora Umora. And we said, that what is the difference between the two? A Sora is, let's see if we have the translation over here. Wayward and rebellious. Okay? So we'll explain. What's the difference between wayward and rebellious? We have to figure that out. So he says he doesn't understand saying, you know, we're about
rebellious,
to come
you don't want
to...
he's rebelling it, and why would he went away?
So we'll see. This is what we're going to talk about. So we know we're going to come up to Saint Vidui. We're going to come up to the Vidui on Yom Kippur, right? And we're going to say, we're going to go, Hashamnu, Bagadnu. And one of the things we say, Sorarnu. We've been wayward. We went off the derech. And he asked the questions. Why do we say Sorarnu? Umaranu. Why don't we say the same thing? In other words, we say Sorarnu. He says at the same time, just like there's a Ben Soramora, so we should say the same thing. Why do we say that together? Say, oh, makam al chet v'armim Sorarnu, madu ein anu maisifim umarinu. Sorarnu marinu. We were like the Soramora. Why do we only mention the Sorar part and not the Mora part? Why do we mention the wayward and not the rebellious? So he says like this. It says that a sorer has hope. A mora doesn't. The sorer is somebody who did something wrong. But the mora is already comes from the mora, like to teach others. He already believes in what he's doing. He feels what he's doing right. He feels he doesn't do anything wrong. That's the difference between the two. And therefore, one can do tshuva, and one cannot. He gives an example. And he's going to bring two very nice examples. First, he tells a good story. Says that during the Milchama when the Germans invaded Poland, so he says, unfortunately the pilots they were very, very scared, and he says that Shikris became a big problem. It became just one more time. We started this year. Drunkenness became a very big problem amongst the Polish people, and they even had a joke that it says in the Torah. Mika Amcha Yisrael, who's like Klal Yisrael? He says that they don't drink so much. Who can drink like all the Jewish people together? Goy Echad Baris. One Pailas Shagoy can drink as much as all of Klal Yisrael. Mika Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Baris. They are on the same, so to speak, on the same levels. He says the police once stopped a person who was driving. He was driving erratically. So they had a thing, they had painted on the ground a line, and if you could walk that line, you were able to show that you were not drunk. If you couldn't walk it, obviously a drunk person can't go straight. So they tell the person, okay, walk the line. So he says, no problem, I'll be glad to walk the line, but first you have to straighten out the line. He was so drunk, he didn't even realize that it was him that was drunk. He thought the line was crooked. So he says, if a person thinks that he's on the right way, and the rest of the world is crazy, you can't do anything to them. There's two stories that the Gemara tells of two different people that reacted to things very differently. One was called Rabbi Lozer ben Dardia. This Rabbi Lozer ben Dardia was a person who the Gemara says he did every aver in the world. And then he realized that because of certain meisim, we've gone into it in the past, this whole story of the Blazer ben Dardia, he said he put his head, he asked Shemayim to ask Rachman for him after he saw how many averes he did, he wanted to do tshuva. And then he finally said, it's only up to me. He put his head between his knees and he did tshuva. And the Gemara says that a bas kol came out, a heavenly voice came out and said, Rebbe Elazar ben Dardia is mezumen l'chai olam haba. Rebbe Elazar, they gave him the title Rebbe, even though he was an oisvorf until then. He was a person who was a lowlife. But he did tshuva, he becomes Rebbe Elazar, and Rebbe, the great Rebbe, said, when he heard the story, he started to cry, and he said, Yesh kain alon v'shachas. Person can spend his whole life getting olam haba, and a person get to olam haba in 1 minute. So Rebbe Elazar ben Dardia was able to get to olam haba in 1 minute. How did he do it? By taking responsibility for his actions, by saying, I was wrong, I'm doing tshuva, and it's up to me. That's it. And he came to that. On the other hand, there was somebody by the name of Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya started out as a Tana. It's like what we spoke before, Mr. Floss, we talk about people going up and people going down. He was a Tana, he was a great man. But everything that went wrong with him, he blamed on somebody else. He said his mother didn't do right when she raised him. His father gave him bris milah if he made a suda for the wrong reason. Everything he blamed on somebody else. Not he's, you know, you have people like this. Nothing's ever his fault. It's always someone else's fault. And he, Nebuch, ended up losing Olam Haba. So on the one hand, you have a person whose life was spent in Avera, but he did a tshuva, we accepted responsibility. And you have another person who was great, but he was going in the wrong direction. I was talking to Mrs. Flusby before the shir, and I was mentioning, I was in a shul, and it was like a kiruv shul. And it was interesting because many of the people, they didn't really know how to daven that well, and they had a minig over there that everybody should tell their neighbor what the page number is. And they didn't always dress, they dress more, let's call it casually, than you know, Shabbos would require. And they didn't know how to learn. And I was thinking about my upbringing when I davened in the shul, and there were people who were there who davened beautifully, better than I could daven. They spoke Yiddish better than I could speak Yiddish. They could learn better than I could learn, but Nebuch, they weren't from anymore. Or they were marginally from. And their kids, the Einikla for sure, there's, except that the ones who became Bali Tshuva, there's not much left of them. What's the pshat? Because they were going down. But the people in the Kiruv Shul that I davened that Shabbos, they were all on their way up. So the difference is that Rebbe Elazar ben Dardia, he was on his way up, and Elisha ben Avuya was on his way down. And that's the difference. A person who accepts responsibility for his actions can go up. A person who's always giving excuses doesn't get there. And he says, and that explains, he says that everybody has the difference between Avram and Yitzhak in their children. Avram had a child named Yishmael. And Yishmael, we know, at the end did tshuva. Because it says that when they buried their father, right, it says Yitzhak v'Yishmael. And Esav, who it sounds like, and Yishmael wasn't much, he was a para-adam. We call him para-adam, but he did tshuva. And Esav, who it seems was much more, he's called Yisrael Mummer, is Gekent Lern, and he asked his father's kashas and learning, and he was able to fool his father in Pasha Pshat for sure. So what was the difference? Why did Yishmael do tshuva and Esav didn't do tshuva? Why do we find the difference between them? They both had great parents. And they say the difference is Yishmael was a ben Sora, and Esav was a ben Sora Mara. Yishmael was a wayward son. Taki didn't do, they threw him out because, right, they threw him out of the house. Gilir Raish, because don't. Yishmael did all these things. But he was a ben Sora, but he came to grips with himself. He was able to turn himself around. Esav already was somebody, he was a Mora, he was rebellious. He was already somebody's Mora, and he's going to tell everybody else how to do it. And that's even to this day, the difference between Esav and Yishmael. And therefore, one was a Ben Sur, one was a Ben Sur Mor. So the Ben Sur can do tshuva, and the Ben Sur Mor can't do tshuva because of the fact of his being Mor. So therefore, he says we have to be so careful.
The one who went away can always come back.
He can always, right.
But the rebellious,
I would suspect, I mean, I'm told that by Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald, we mentioned here in the show a number of times, he says 85% of kids who go off, what we call off the derech, come back. 15% don't. And I suspect that has a lot to do with it. That the ones who went off, they were Ben Sur, they did, you know. Maisa Na'arim. You know what this says when they danced in the Beis Hamikdash by Sukkos? So these came, they used to say, we hope that our youth does not embarrass our old age. That the things we did, like we'd like to forget what we did when we were younger. So he says that they, he says some of them, you know, they can forget it. They did it, but they moved on. They got more mature. They realized who they were. And we gave Vaitan. But somebody who's, he's ideologically like that, that's somebody you're going to have a lot harder time bringing back. So that's a little bit of Ben Sarmar. Now let's go on to a group that says, Lo Yavo Amani Umo'avi B'Kal Hashem. Let's go to Perakov Gimel Pasuk Hey. And we'll talk about that halacha. Perchav Gimel. Pasuk Hey. So now we have to go to 556. Okay, here we go. Pasuk Hey. Let's learn a couple psukim. Pasuk says, Lo Yava Amani Ma'avi B'Kal Hashem. The nation of Ammon and Meir should not come to Kal Hashem. Gamdor Asiri Lo Yava Lem B'Kal Hashem. Not the 10th generation. I mean, that's... you know what 10 generations is, by the way? It's a long time. I was doing a little of my family history. And, I was supposed to be it's called a Jikiver Enikel. My grandfather's grandfather was a Jikiver Rebbe. So that means my mother's father was the Jikiver Rebbe, and he was Nifta in 1913. So he was Nifta 102 years ago. So you can imagine, that's six generations, right, or five. You go back another five, you're talking, who remembers that? I mean, it's 200 years ago. But it says, they have to wait 10 darters. Why? What did they do that could be so bad? Right? What could they have done already? It says, Al-Dvar Shlo Kidmas Chem Balech Mayim, because they didn't bring you bread and water, but there, but Seitz Mitzrayim, you came to Mitzrayim. V'asher Socher Lecha as Bilam Ben Ba'or, V'Pshor Aram Narayim Kalecha. And they hired Bilam, the son of Ba'or, to curse you. And then the Pasuk says something which is like a little bit of an oddity. It's like, it's not part of the main narrative, and that's what we'll talk about in our first pshat. Lo ava Hashem lekech lishmayin. Pasuk Vav, it says, and Hashem did not listen, El Bilam. Vayavar Hashem es lekecha, and Hashem your God turned, as a klala vracha, the klala to a bracha, ki yahevcha Hashem lekech, Hashem loves you. And then it says, lo sidra shloim v'tayvazka mech lo'ayla. Now we go back to the original narrative, and he says, you shouldn't look for their good, or their taiva all the days of your life. So it tells us, Am and Amayev were shrek with the people, that they didn't come for hospitality, they didn't give us hospitality, and because of that, we don't let them come in for 10 generations. That's how long it is till it like gets out of them. In other words, they can become, that means when they become, the time they become a yid, they have to wait 10 generations until they're allowed in. So somebody who was a miny who became a ger in 1800 can now come over and say, okay, I'd like to become a yid. Okay. So that's what it says. Yava money b'kani b'kal Hashem. Okay. So he says, he asked the question as follows. And this is the question we asked before. What is the pasuk that says, and Hashem did not let Bilam curse? This is Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky. Says, Hashem did not let him curse. That's not part of the narrative. The narrative is, don't take them in because they're bad people, because they didn't give you courtesy, they didn't give you hospitality. What has it got to do? And they hired Bilam against you. What's that got to do? And Hashem saved you. Why is that extra? So listen to what he says. It's a real gishmak. He tells a story, as he always has these great stories. The classic story of the new immigrant's encounter with the American judicial system involved in an old Jew who was called to testify. So the judge turns to him and says, Mr. Goldstein, he asked the judge, how old are you? So Mr. Goldstein turns to the judge and says, no, Kanai Nahara, 83.
How old?
83. Oh. Says, Kanai Nahara, 83. So the judge is like, you know judges, if you've ever been a juror, the judges are like, very, right? So just answer the question, Mr. Goldberg, how old are you? So Mr. Goldberg did not flinch. Kanai Nahara, 83. So the judge is starting to get really mad. He says, Mr. Goldberg, I don't want any prefix or suffixes. Just answer the question. So Goldberg answers the same thing. So the lawyer chaps, obviously must have been a frum lawyer, the lawyer chaps what's going on. So the lawyer says, judge, may I ask him the question? So the judge says, yeah, sure. So he says, Mr. Goldberg, can I know her? How old are you? 83.
Yeah, I heard it before.
So it's the famous joke. So he says 83. He says, and what has become a tradition of the Jewish vernacular, perhaps originating with the above verses, no potential calamity is ever mentioned without mentioning or interjecting a preventive utterance of caution. In other words, whenever we say something bad, a Yid always says something good. When we say, for example, and he gives three examples. He says, I could have slipped, and chas v'shalom hurt my leg. He says, but what does the word chas v'shalom mean? You know what the word chas v'shalom means?
Yeah.
What does chas v'shalom mean?
God forbid.
What does the word chas v'shalom mean? Mercy and peace.
Peace.
Mercy and peace. Nobody thinks he's in chas v'shalom. Mercy and peace. That means he's saying, I could have slipped, but mercy and peace I didn't. So within the words he's saying, you're saying something bad, you always say something good. He's Rachman l'slan, not well. What does Rachman l'slan means? Hashem should save us. That means even when you say somebody's not well, you put in the tefillah, Hashem should save him in it. My grandfather, Tzolanga Yaron, is 83 years old. He says, my grandfather, Tzolanga Yaron, right away, a Yid, whenever he says something, automatically puts in a good vort. He puts in something good to show. So if you say, I know when you talk about, go to somebody and talk about their Ein HaKlach, so what did they say? Poo, 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 how many 8 o'clock do you have, right? Right?
Poo, poo, poo.
I don't know where it comes from, that flush. But poo, poo, poo. How many 8 o'clock do you have? Poo, 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 I have so many. Because there should be, we want to always put in a good word. You know, Kanai Nahara, you know, of Langa Yarn, all of these are expressions that we use because we always want to say something good whenever we say something that's not good. So here we're talking about Amin Amayiv, that they should not come to Kal Hashem. So we put in a good word. We say, and Hashem Taka saved us from Bilam. So we talk about Bilam, Retzat Vegan Bilam. We talk about Bilam. Say something nice. Say Hashem saved us. So he says that's the word that we learn from here, that whenever Yid says something, you always put in a nice thing together with it. So I thought that was very nice. He says, in ever-present cognizance, Shem's hand in our lives become integrated into traditional Jewish speech patterns. Thank God, please God, God willing, pepper the vernacular of every Jew who understands that all his careful plans can change in the millisecond of heavenly whim. So beginning with biblical times and no reference occurrences of daily life found in a vacuum, they're always surrounded with their sincere wishes that Hashem's perpetual protection and continuous blessing. Baruch Hashem. So we learn that Mezok that good vort, you say, it's very interesting. So when you walk into a Talmud Chacham, the first thing they always say is, Zog that good vort. Say something nice. You can come in because you have to talk to them about some urgent, crushing problem that you have and you need advice or Klal Yisrael has. They'll say, Zog that good vort. First we're going to say something good. First we're going to crown it with good and then we can go to something else. Lo Yav Amani Bekal Hashem. So Rav Galinsky points out something very, very gishmak. He brings a Ramban. The Ramban says like this, we said, why can't Amin and Mayav come in the Kal Hashem? Because they were not nice. They didn't give hospitality. So we ask Akasha. The Ramban has Akasha. And Mitzrayim was so nice. You know, Amalek is so nice. I mean, there's lots of people where, you know, nobody's been nice to us. So, of all these umos that we're mentioning. So why does Amin and Mayav get special opprobrium? Why are they special for criticism? Says the Ramban, Vanirei lai, ki akosov hirchik shneo achim ha'ela. He takes these two brothers. Remember, Amin and Mayav were brothers. We forget about that. We think of them as nations, but remember, they were brothers. They had chesed from Avram. He saved their parents from the sword and from being captured. So Avram did a great favor to their parents. Who was their parents? Light. And then their sisters, who were their mothers. Because Hashem saved them from from Sodom, they had a special chiv to do toiva for Klal Yisrael. The Makar Satoiv, the Mitzrayim, they didn't owe them anything. They're bad. They did bad, and they'll be punished. But they owed them. They did them a favor. So says the Ramban, they did them a favor. So how could they go back? That's Azazak the Ram. Beautiful. So Amin and Mayav are special. They did you a favor. Avram did you a favor. Save you wouldn't be here today without Avram, right? How'd you do this? So he asked the Kasha, and he does it in a very clever way. He says like this. He says, let's figure out, when was Milchamas Midian? Who was Milchamas Midian? Who was the hero of Milchamas Midian? Pinchas. Who was Pinchas? Pinchas ben Elazar, the son of Elazar, ben Aaron, the son of Aaron. who was the son of Ben Amram, Ben Kohath, the son of Kohath, Ben Levi, Ben Yaakov, Ben Yitzhak, Ben Avram. 9 generations. And he says, and who was Amram and Moav? Amram and Moav were also 9 generations away. So he says, so we're coming to them, and we're saying, you know, we have a tain on you. Because your grandfather's 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 grandfather did his grandfather's grandfather's grandfather a favor. So chutzpah, you don't have a karsa toiv? Because somebody did something hundreds of years before. You didn't have a karsa toiv? What's going on over here? How do we understand it? We were talking before that my grandfather's grandfather died in 1913. And his grandfather was like in 1837 or something like that. Like hundreds of years before. Yeah, right. Hundreds of years before. So what's going on? And we have it. So we should have time on Amram and Moav. They say, I don't know who they were. I didn't. What am I trying? He says the same thing. He says by Haman. He says, it says in the pasuk that what was the tain on Haman? I mean, with the pasuk tain is because he wanted to wipe out Klal Yisrael. But even before there was a tain on him, the tain on says Chazal lo zaker rachmei shol. He didn't remember the rachmanis of shol zakeinu shol Mordechai Yehudi. That Haman did not have Hakar Satoif. What was Hakar Satoif? Where's Haman come to Mordechai Hakar Satoif? What are you talking about? So there's a story many years before in the time of Shaul HaMelech that Shaul killed out all the Amalekim except for one, Agog. Agog was the king of Amalekim. For whatever reason, you can see Ayin Shem and Tanakh, you see, he let him live and put him in prison. That night in prison, they sneaked in a shifcha and he was able to have a child, and from that they were able to repopulate Amalek. And from there came who? Haman. So he says, let's make a little bit of Yichas briefel over here. He says, we take a look at Shaul, Ben Kish, and we go back 9 Darius again until we, Mordechai Ben Kish, and we go back 9 Darius until we get to Shaul. He says, if you take a look in Haman, it's even more so. It says he was Ben Amadasa, Ben Adab, Ben Biznoi, Ben Aplitus, Ben Diustus, Ben Hamdan, interesting. Okay, Ben Talyoin, Ben Asnisumas, and on and on and on, 17 generations.
Where did these generations come from?
They're listed in the Targum and Esther. Targum and Esther, Perikei, Pasuk Aleph. You want to take a look, it has all of the Targum has all of his Yichas. And it has, and Shaul, we know, we can do it in Divrei Yom. So again, 9 generations going back, 17 generations. So the Chazal, we have a Tain on Haman, in Abakar Satoit. Because if not, for Mordechai's elder Zayda, Shaul having Rachmanis and his elder Zayda, Agog, he wouldn't be here. So he has to have a Karsa Toif. So he says, what a lesson we learn from here. That if the Torah says you have to have a Karsa Toif, a Goy has to have a Karsa Toif. From that many years before, can you imagine what a Karsa Toif we have to have for every single person who's done us a favor? What a Karsa Toif to every family member who's done things for us? Says we had that Hakar Satoiv, says the world will be a much better place. And we don't. As soon as somebody does us a favor, unfortunately our Hargosha is to forget that favor. But the Torah constantly,
not the older generation.
I don't know about 200 years ago.
No, I mean
okay.
The young.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll say that. But he says, look at how everything we have in our religion, everything in Yiddishkeit is a Karsa Toiv. We have a Karsa Toiv to the Ribbono Shel Olam, take us out of Mitzrayim. We have a Karsa Toiv we say in Shabbos for making a world. We have a Karsa Toiv when we make Bikurim that he gave us a tree. Everything, our whole Yiddishkeit is basically based on a Karsa Toiv to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's things that happened thousands of years ago. So a Karsa Toiv is never something that goes away. A Karsa Toiv is something that we have to have our entire life, and we have to have for everybody. We should keep a Pinkus. Keep a little notebook. You don't have a notebook anymore. Now you can do it electronically. You know, every time somebody does you a favor, you write it down, and I guarantee it'll change the relationship with that person forever. Because every time you remember that favor, when you're upset, whatever, it'll be a different way that you look at it because you remember the Taiva. And he says, this is the lesson. This is the lesson of Amram and Moav. How many years before it was a favor, and how many years you now have to have. Let's just do one more thing, and this is, I think, probably the most important thing we'll say today. Mitzvah Hashem. We have the story of, let's take a look, Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Yud. So it talks about loans. We get past, we go into some, you know, regular halachas, not just all the dramatic things that happened. And you take a look in Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Yud, and it talks about giving a loan, and it says Kisasha Bereyacha Masas Meuma. If you get, you know, do a business deal, you give a loan to your friend, your neighbor, Masas Meuma means any amount, big, small, doesn't matter. So Lo Sava Ulbeisa Lavan Avot, you shouldn't go to his house to grab the to take a guarantee for it. What should you do? B'chutz tamud, you shouldn't go into the house. You stand outside with derech eretz. V'isha sherata noishab, and the one that owes you the money, yaitzei lecha sa'ofet, he should bring it to you outside of chutz. V'mish anihu, and if he's a poor man, lo sishka b'avayt, you can't keep it overnight. You have to bring it back to him because he needs it, and so on. So the Gemara tells us, derech eretz, how to treat a person that you do business with. Mamash, how you treat a person you do business with. And remember, you're the lender. You're the power guy. And nevertheless, you have to treat him with the rest of derech eretz. The Chofetz Chaim has a problem. So the Chofetz Chaim wants to know, why does it say, the Torah tell us, guarding a loan, masas me'uma, that it's a small amount. And if a big amount is different? In any amount, small, big. Why does the Torah do a hadgasha on the lashon of a small amount? What is the Torah's lesson telling us, even if you lend them a small amount, you still have to treat them with the rest of derech eretz? Because l'chora, you could say, I'm really mad at him. I didn't lend them that much money. I could pay it back. I just had a big amount of money. Doesn't have. So why is this so much? It's maybe called l'chora. Could be. So he says, like, he tells a story, an unbelievable story. And I never saw this story before. And it's a story at the end of the life of the famous Ger Tzedek of Vilna, Avram ben Avram the Ger. There's a famous Ger Tzedek. So there's another story that I did hear. This one, I think to me is a new one. It says that Avram ben Avram was a Ger Tzedek. He was a very famous person. He was in the Count Potocki, and he went to the University of Paris. And somehow, like we were talking about stories, how every person who is a Baal Tshuva, everybody has a wonderful, amazing story of Hashgacha practice. He also did it. Every Ger has. He also became a Yid. He became such a Yid. He became close to the Vilna Gaon. I mean, it's like, of all people, you know, I mean, close to the Gadol Ador, and not just I'm the Gadol Ador, the Gadol Ador of many Dairis is the Vilna Gaon. And this was this Avram ben Avram. The kids, we got caught, and they were not happy with him in the church. And they basically said, if you don't come back to Goyishkeit, we're gonna burn you at the stake. And he joyously went. They say that the Vilna Gaon offered to do the shame, to make a shame Hashem, to get him out. And he refused because he wanted to go die al Kiddush Hashem, whatever it is. So here's the story at the end of his life. He said, an old friend of the Count from the days before his conversion was the one who was appointed to light the bonfire. He was the one who was going to come over and send the licht. So the pyre was, as the pyre was being formed, so the person was very nervous. He was a friend of his. And he turns to him and says, when you come to heaven, are you going to ask your God to enact heavenly retribution against me? He was nervous. He said, you're going to go up there, you know, you're going to talk to God, and I'm going to get it. So he smiles at him. And he must have been an amazing person. He's about to burn at the stake, and this is what he tells him. He says, let me tell you a story. It says, when we were children, we played together in the palace. And because I was the count, my father gave me a beautiful soldier, toy soldier, a beautiful chashev toy soldier. And you weren't so chashev. See, your toy soldier wasn't nice as mine. And you were very, very upset about it. You were very jealous of me. And you broke my soldier. And I swore to myself, I'm going to take revenge on you. But you know, son, he says, you know, when I grew up, it to me it was a big joke. Two little children played with a toy soldier. I understood when I grew older that the toy soldier doesn't mean anything. It's duch garnish, it's kids' play. It doesn't mean anything to me now. He says the same thing. He says, I'm about to enter the Olam HaEmes. He says, in my religion, one who sanctifies life for the sake of Judaism is considered the greatest of all the righteous. He says, believe me, when I receive my awaited reward, your fate will be as relevant to me as the fate of my toy soldier. He says, don't worry. I'm not going to have any tithes in you because I'm going to realize how small this world is, how small this life is, and I'm going to really understand what's real and what's not real. And believe me, you're not going to be part of that. So don't worry, I'm not going to come out and take it out of you because you mean to me as much as the toy soldier. So the Chofetz Chaim tells us that what Rashi is telling us is the nature of a loan. We can sometimes get very, very into it. We can think money is the ikker. We can think our neshama is going to go up. This guy didn't pay me back and I'm going to take it out and get it to him. He says you have to be able to take it and understand what's not. And we, and he says something which was written, I get 10 or 15 years ago, but it's like it was written today. Listen to what he says. I got to read this to you because it's unbelievable. I just met a student of mine who deals in the world of stocks and bonds. He told me how his recent torment over the market's roller coaster up and downs all became trivial when his father was diagnosed with a serious illness. So we're going through right now, if anybody knows the stock market, it's the same thing. It's written years ago. He says, but as soon as my father, all of a sudden the whole, everything became irrelevant. So Rashi tells basically that what we want to, don't sweat the small loans. From the perspective of the one who lends us life, health, and happiness, they are all small loans. And that's what it means to say, not masas ma'uma, that means an insignificant loan, a few dollars. It means all loans are masas ma'uma, because that's not what life is all about. Life is all about family and gezint and avoid and the Ribbono Shel'olam and Torah. That's what life is. And all of this, says the Chafetz Chaim, that's masas ma'uma. That's just a loan. Keep a loan in perspective. Keep life in perspective. And Mircham will all be zaycha to a much happier life. And that's the lesson of Mas Muma. Okay. Oh, that's right. If anybody has, speaking of loans, one last halacha. If you have a loan outstanding, and even if you don't, the minig is you sign a prusbel, and you you can make people come here. We make a basin here, and they are good. All you have to do is take three of the people here. You can sign a prusbel, and you're all set.
But if you roll with the money, if you're the lender.
Either way.
Either way?
People make a prusbel. No, because you're always going to be a lender. Okay, anyway, let me just turn off.